This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. In today's session, I intend to wrap up our series on the fiqh of intimacy, or Islam and intimacy. And we'll discuss the actual play, and we'll discuss matters after the intimate encounter between the husband and wife. When we talk about actual play, the first thing to understand is that the issue of privacy. Islam lays a lot of emphasis on this aspect, that when husband and wife are intimate, they should not be in the public eye, away from the gazes of the children, the minor ones, especially other family members. It's extremely important. Islam does not encourage public display of intimacy. That is the rule of thumb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions also, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَحِينَ تَضَعُونَ ثِيَابَكُمْ مِنَ الظَّهِيرَةِ وَمِنْ بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ. The Quran says you're living with a lot of people in the house. You got your children, you got your workers, everything. So as far as in and out of the house is concerned, it's fine. They can come in and out, there's not a problem. But on three occasions, the Quran says that even your children should knock before entering your private space. And the one is before Salatul Fajr. The second is during the afternoon when you are taking your nap. And number three, after Isha Salah. These are three moments. If anybody in the house want to interact with you or talk to you, when they enter in your private space, it's important that they knock before they enter. Because these are moments when people are generally intimate with their partners, or people are more relaxed at those moments of the day. It's also not appropriate for the mother to dress incorrectly in front of her children, especially if they are baligh, because that's setting the wrong precedent. A mother is ought to lead when it comes to the aspect of modesty, especially in her choice of dressing in the house. So privacy is important. When we talk about the actual encounter, privacy is paramount. If you live in with your extended family, or you live in with your immediate family, and there's everybody sharing the same space, it's important that you create privacy for your partner. You should not take this lightly, because one embarrassing moment can make things awkward between you and the opposite person for a very long time. And it's not nice. Those moments ought to be avoided. That is why a Sahabi came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I stay with my mother. Do I need to seek permission? So he said, yes. Then he asked for the second time, O Nabi of Allah, but I'm staying with my mother. Do I need to seek permission? And he said, yes. And then he asked for the third time, and the Nabi of Allah said, yes. And then he said, do you want to see your mother naked? So he explained to the young man the wisdom behind privacy, why you need to respect the privacy of each other, especially when it comes to these affairs in our home. The second thing is that we often ask the question, Mawlana, there's Islamic literature in the room, there's sometimes Quran, what is the ruling regarding that? So the Sharia is very practical. If you have Islamic literature in your room where you are going to be intimate, then the ideal is to cover it, or put it away in the cupboard, whatever it is, because not everybody has a study in the house, not everybody has the luxury of having such big homes nowadays. So you're living in a small two-bedroom flat, whatever it may be, and that's the only space you have, and your Quran is also in the room, it's fine, there's nothing wrong with that. So you put the Quran away in the cupboard if possible. If you can't put it away in the cupboard, the minimum you should do is to cover the Quran with something. And the same would apply with other Islamic literature. Another point to note here is that a lot of people have Quranic ayats on the wall hung. If you have a bigger space in your house where you can accommodate for all these frames, alhamdulillah, mashallah, you should keep it. But if it's in your actual living room or in your actual bedroom, then you should try to move it out of the room, because that you can't, how much can you cover? Those frames are big. So we must take note of this. If there's any Islamic writings on the wall, maybe a hadith or Quranic verses, then that should be removed from the room and moved to another part of the house where people would actually show respect to that. So that's as far as the Quran is concerned. The third thing to consider when it comes to the actual encounter is to recite the dua. And the dua mentioned in the hadith, also in Bukhari, Bismillah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan, wa jannib shaytan ma razaqtana. O Allah, I start in your name. Everything is in the name of Allah. And O Allah, protect the devil from what you are going to bless us through this union. This is the authentic narration of Bukhari, that a person who recites this dua, and if Allah blesses him with a child, then the influence of the devil will not be on the child. MashaAllah. Now, if you can't get the Arabic, it's fine. The objective is to remember Allah and to seek protection in Allah from the devil. So even if you do it in English, oh Allah, I intend to get close to my partner, you protect this union from the devil. You don't even have to verbalize it. As long as you make this dua internally, or you make the dua before the actual encounter, is sufficient, mashaAllah. Another aspect to keep in mind is to avoid facing the Qibla. Very important. So you must be cognizant of the fact that Qibla is in this direction or in that direction. When you are intimate with your partner, you should not be facing the Qibla, as it is disrespectful. Is that haram, but it is disrespectful. The aspect of talking during intimacy. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions in Imdadul Muftin that in this day and age, if husband and wife talk, as long as they know there's no one around them that can hear their conversation, and they cannot make out what's happening in the bedroom, it's fine for them to talk from time to time. It's fine whilst they are intimate. But obviously, if you're living with other members in the house, then you would want to take precaution, because the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to his partner that be calm, and he would exercise silence solely because of the aspect of haya and modesty. The next important aspect to consider is positions. Now, the Sharia has not stipulated any specific position. The rule of thumb is نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. Allah says in the Quran, your women are your tillage, meaning your area of farming, and you may use them as you please, meaning whichever position you are comfortable with. Now, it's interesting to look at the background of this verse. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Halaktu ya Rasulullah. O Nabi of Allah, I am doomed, I'm destroyed. So the Nabi of Allah asked, Wama ahlakaka ya Umar? What happened, Umar? What happened? Why are you so stressed out? He said, O Nabi of Allah, hawaltu rahli al-layla. O Nabi of Allah, I changed the direction of my conveyance. In a very dignified way, he indicated to the Prophet of Allah that he, from the rear, he came to the front. And the Nabi of Allah was asked this question. So then the Nabi of Allah waited, and revelation came down, Nisa'ukum harthul lakum, that your women are your tillage. You may enter as you are comfortable. But the rule of thumb is that any position is permissible, but anal sex is haram. So whatever position you are comfortable with your partner, it's fine. There's another background to this narration, and it's an interesting one also. The people of Medina were living close by to the people of Ahl Kitab, the Jews. And the Jews were predominantly only practicing one position, the missionary style in specific. So because of the close proximity to the Ahlul Kitab and the Jews, they thought that maybe that's the only way you should be having intimacy. And the people of Makkah, they were more diverse. So when the people of Makkah migrated to Medina, and when a Muhajir Sahabi married an Ansari lady from Medina, she said, no, if you want to be intimate with me, you can only do it in this way. And it is also the what is mentioned in the narration that this is also one of the reasons which prompted the revelation of Nisa'ukum Harthul Lakum, that your women folk are your tillage and you may enter as you are comfortable. So another background and context to the verse, that you are more than welcome to experiment and try and use any position as long as your partner is comfortable with it. And secondly, it is not to do with anal sex. As far as anal sex is concerned, there's stern warning in the hadith, stern warning. And this is not even mentioned indirectly, it is mentioned directly by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ أَتَى إِمْرَأَتَهُ فِي دُبُرِهَا. Cursed is that person who enters his wife from the rear passage. Cursed. A person should sit and think, what is the meaning of curse? What is the meaning of the curse of Allah in your life? So that is as far as actual play is concerned. We should try and keep these matters in mind. Moving on, talking about after play. The first thing that we must understand is that intimacy does not end with your sexual encounter. It stretches beyond that also. If you, after having fulfilled your need, you just turn around and you sleep, just think how your wife would feel. So I'm just good enough to satisfy your need. Now when the need is finished, you sleep in that side. You don't even ask anything. And the men say, Bonana, I get so tired, so sleepy. It's like the tranquility and the serenity you don't experience any other time of the day. I can't help it, Malara. So a lady is very sensitive to this. Very sensitive. She feels that you're using her. That you just fulfilled your need. You hopped on and you're done and you're gone. And women are very emotional in this regard. You see, for a man, it's totally different. A man does not do it deliberately. It's a different matter. It's just that he falls asleep. He needs to be more active for a few minutes after that. Talk about something, discuss something, talk to her, make her feel nice. Don't make her feel used, because that's when you create boundaries and rift between the two of you. I said, but I don't understand, we were so close, we were so intimate. Now she's not talking. So you have to understand the silent language also. Show respect, show regard, be affectionate with your partner, even post the intimate period. So foreplay is important, actual play is important, but after the intimate encounter, it is also important that you continue with the affectionate behavior and the generosity in that. In fact, if you are able to display kindness and affectionate behavior after the intimate encounter, it could lead to more pleasurable unions afterwards. MashaAllah. The second thing is that cleanliness and purification. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to say that an astute woman is that lady who keeps a piece of cloth by her side when having relations with her husband, and after completing the actual encounter, she offers this piece of cloth to the husband to wipe himself, and she also wipes herself. Subhanallah. Look how beautiful our deen is. We get every teaching from the top. MashaAllah. There is no gray area. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to say, a sign of an intelligent woman is that she keeps a piece of cloth by her. When the man is finished, she offers the cloth to him, and they can both wipe themselves with that. And the ulama also write that it is recommended, it's not necessary, it's recommended that a lady keeps, or a man keeps, a special sheet when they are planning to get intimate with one another. And this makes sense, because you don't want stains on the actual sheet, because that could make your clothes napak, especially if it's still damp or if it's still wet. Cleanliness is very important. As far as ghusl is concerned, the sahabi came to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he asked her that, oh Ummul Mu'mineen, what was the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after having an intimate encounter with his partner? And so Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha replied that at times he would make ghusl immediately. And at times he would just sleep like that. So he was very happy. He said, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala fil amri wus'atan. All praises are due to Allah who has kept flexibility in the matter. So some people, they're extremely conscious. They can't stay in a park. They must make ghusl immediately. It's fine if they want to do that. And there are those people who prefer to make ghusl one time in the morning before Fajr. There are three things to keep in mind. The one is the ideal is to make ghusl immediately. If you can't make ghusl, then the second one is to make wudu. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at night I have relations with my wife, what should I do? So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised him saying, O Umar ibn al-Khattab, make wudu, wash your private part, and you can go to sleep. So that's option number two. Option number three is, the bare minimum is that you just wash yourself, so you're not making ghusl, you're not making wudu. But the third thing is just washing yourself, your private parts, and then you carrying on with your sleep for the night. That's also fine. There's no haram in that. It's also permissible for a person to do so. However, if a person is eating, he wants to eat or he wants to drink, then it's important that he washes himself before partaking of anything in terms of food. Moving on further, the question that many people ask, Manana, I just made ghusl. And after making ghusl, there was a drop or two after I walked out of the shower. Do I need to repeat my ghusl? So the ruling is, as long as you took the precaution before making the ghusl. For example, you went to relieve yourself, you did pass water, whatever it is, and then you went to shower. So you took your precaution on your side. Now after that, whatever comes out, then you can't help it. You just repeat your wudu. You don't have to repeat your ghusl. A very important masala. A lot of people, they go make ghusl again, and then they're not sure, shame, then they go again. You don't have to do that. You take your precaution the first time around. After that, if there is anything, then you don't have to worry. You just repeat your wudu. The same would apply for the lady. As far as ghusl is concerned, let me also explain. Ghusl becomes wajib إذا التقى الختانان. The minute the husband's private part enters the wife's private part, ghusl is wajib. It's necessary. Immaterial whether there's ejaculation that follows after that or not. It's important to keep that mas'ala also in mind. It's also highly encouraged that a person passes urine minimum before going to bed, because whatever is in his passage will come out, and from a medical perspective is also good and healthy. The question that people ask, successive rounds during the night, what is the mas'ala? It's fine, you can make one ghusl for all of them. In fact, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يطوف على نسائه بغسل واحد. Occasionally the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make only one ghusl after having shared the bed with all of his wives. Obviously not at the same time, one after the other in their own private respective dwelling. One person asked, the masla is, what if a person has more than one wife? Well, the ruling is you can only be intimate with one wife at a time. You can't be intimate with both wives at the same time. It brings us to the end of our series. Alhamdulillah, it has been a fascinating one and a very educational one. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all and educate us in the light of the Sharia and allow us to bring every aspect of our life according to the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all.